ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण. We read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 3. Ashradhana. You have it? Books available? 9 chapter, text 3. There's also more books there. Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Param Tapa Aprapya Mam Nivartante Mrityo Samsara Vartmani Ashradhana Purusha Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapya Mam Nivartante Aprapya Mam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vatmani Mrityu Samsara Vatmani Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapya Mam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vatmani Ashradhana, those who are faithless. Purushaha, such persons. Dharmasya, toward the process of religion. Asya, this. Paramtapa, O killer of the enemies. Aprapya, without obtaining. Mam, me, Nivartante, come back, Mrityu, of death, Samsara, immaterial existence, Vartmani, on the path. Translation and purport by Swami Kriya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 31st chapter, text 14, quoted by Narada Muni. Yata taror mula nisechanena tripyanti tatskanda pujopasaka pranopaharaccha yatendriyanam Tathaiva sarvahanam achyutecha. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. End of the quote. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna consciousness, man. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will sleep after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the liturgies of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes, these third-class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency towards karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second-class or first-class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First-class attachment, second-class attachment, and third-class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. śradhāna purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante ritya sansara vatmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me. O conqueror of enemies, therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world.
Om Ekyati Maranya Syaganchana Salakyam Chakshurum Itam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pamkumla Gaiti Karim Yat Kripatam Mahamvande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. In Sanskrit, what's called Guyam. Guyam Yoga. That means confidential. This knowledge, what Krishna speaks here in this chapter and also in future chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, are very confidential. Guyam means confidential. And as pointed out in the first verse, Krishna tells to Arjuna, because you are not envious on me. Arjuna has a relationship to Krishna as friend and as somebody who is very faithful to his friend. He has accepted him as his guru because although first he was confused, he didn't want to fight, he didn't want to surrender and act according to Krishna's instruction. So he hesitated to surrender, but then ultimately he came to good sense, and he surrendered to Krishna and accepted him as a spiritual master, as guide. To accept spiritual master means a disciple has to surrender, he has to have faith in Guru, Adau Guru Ashraya. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the process how to attain perfection to prema by approaching spiritual master, developing some little faith in the beginning. In the beginning, the faith is maybe a little weak and not very fixed. But if one associates with devotee and with spiritual master and with other expert guides who are acting as spiritual masters, as shiksha, gurus, so we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Without, here is pointed out by Prabhupada, without association with devotees, we cannot become fixed in Krishna consciousness. The faith will remain weak. That's faith is like bhakti, or this process, the faith in bhakti, is like a small tender plant implanted by the spiritual master. This bhakti lata beach, who grows to a little plant. And this plant is very weak, little wind, we have to protect it from wind, from natural enemies, insects, cold, too cold, too much heat, too much water, too less water. This way the plant will become neglected and will dwindle or it will become weaker and weaker and will die. So the bhakti plant has to be cultivated in the association of devotees by the watering process of Shravanadi, Shuddha Chitta, Koryodaya. Actually, Krishna consciousness is natural for the living entity because it belongs to the Chichakti of the Lord, and as such we have same nature as the Lord. The difference is Lord is Vibhu, is unlimited, he's very great, and we are Anu, we are very small, we are very tiny, we are very insignificant. Besides that, although we belong to the spiritual energy, to the Chichakti of the Lord, we took shelter in Achichakti. That means in darkness, in Maya. Maya is very strong. It's not our real element. But we choose somehow or other, since time immemorial, we choose this shelter in Maya. It was like darkness. Maya has no independence of the Lord. Because Maya Shakti is the Lord's personal Shakti or energy. The living entity is also personal energy of the Lord, the Tashta. So as such, you know, no energy is dependent from the source of the energy, Krishna. So, well, because we are taking shelter in this Achichakti, in this Maya, who is like darkness, like shadow energy of the Lord, we become covered by ignorance, avidya. Therefore, we cannot develop this faith or this giving attention to hearing about Krishna from the proper source. We are cultivating doubt and so many mental speculations. Besides that, we are also always choosing wrong association with people or objects who are creations of Maya Shakti, of this Achit, of ignorance. So if we are cultivating ignorance, we remain in ignorance. That's the point here. We have to cultivate knowledge. And not only knowledge about ignorance, but is accepted as knowledge in the material world. We have to accept and cultivate knowledge that is coming from God, from Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Teacher, the Supreme Knower. And is in everyone's heart. Savasya cham ridi sannivishto matakshmitya jnanam apovanam cha. Vidaisa sarvaya aham eva vidya vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. So Krishna's super soul is in everyone's heart. And from him comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So even that we can forget Krishna, he has to give us permission for that. For that he has this Achichakti, this Maya, who is covering our consciousness, who is actually by origin pure. The soul, jiva, atma, is by nature pure. Chichakti, Krishna's energy. In turn, Maya is also Krishna's Shakti, but it's Achit. It's not conscious. It's darkness. And darkness is no happiness. It's only suffering, misery. So many problems. So if you remain in the darkness, the Lord gives you this free will. You can stay in our lazy condition. Life after life. He's not forcing anyone. But still, he's ready to give this transcendental knowledge to those who are eager to learn it from the source coming from the Lord Himself through the parampara, the cyclic succession. That is the process what Krishna recommends here. We have to accept this knowledge coming from him through the cyclic succession. Parampara. Otherwise we become misguided. Therefore the Lord created four Vaishnava Sampradayas. He manifested in this world. Sri Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, and Brahma Sampradaya. With their respective teachers. And they have their disciples who became teachers, and in this way, this process is handed down from guru to teacher, who become from guru to disciple, who becomes guru if he ripens and cultivates this knowledge given by guru, transcendental knowledge, not ordinary knowledge, but is very confidential. Therefore, the spiritual master, he should not just initiate and accept anyone who comes to him. He should test. There's a testing time of minimum 1 year, Shastra recommends. That means guru and disciples should know each other. They should know about their sincerity. Guru has to be sincere. Disciple has to be sincere. If both of them are sincere, result will be good. If one of them is only sincere and the other part is insincere, result is not good. And if both are insincere, are not properly situated and in faith in the absolute truth, then the result is completely not good. So guru has to be qualified and disciple has to be qualified. Like Prabhupada or Bhagavatam gives the example of the qualified guru, speaker of Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami. Is Brahmarata. Brahmarat. That means he knows Brahman. He knows what is the transcendence. He's absorbed in transcendental bliss. He's Atmarama. So he knew the truth. He not only knew the truth, he realized the truth. He relished the truth. He was Rasika. Nikama kalpataro kalitam palam shukamukha amrita travasam yutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit on the Vedic desire tree, kalpataru. Nigama means Veda. Nigama kalpataru. Kalitam palam, shukha mukha amritam. But this ripe fruit, because it was spoken by Shukadev, the son of Sri Vyasadev, it became more sweet, became more ripe, become very relishable. And those were who are receptacle to relish, they become very happy. They become very joyful to relish this very sweet fruit by hearing and speaking about it, as we hear it from the Shukadev Goswami and the disciplic succession. So Shukadev Goswami was the perfect speaker. He was completely absorbed in the transcendence. And Maharaj Parikshit is the perfect disciple, listener. He was a king. He had all opportunity to enjoy. But then when he heard that he had that he became cursed, that he only had remaining 7 days to live, so he immediately decided to leave the kingdom. He didn't consult any help from the material world. Please help me, save my life. Most probably he could find some opportunity to counteract the curse. Why not? But because it was spoken by Brahmana, so he respected that curse, Brahmana's curse, to show how important it is to hear and to receive and to cultivate Brahminical culture and respect Brahminical culture. Although this Brahmana boy was not qualified, he was unripe.
He was a very greenhorn. He was not very experienced. So it was not right, it was not proper that he curses the great saintly king Parikshit Maharaj, who could even stop Kali Yuga from his misevils and from his bad activities. He could stop him, he could drive him out from his kingdom. But he could not stop this situation where he came in it, that this Brahmana felt offended because Parikshit seemingly offended his father. Although the father, he didn't accept offense. He didn't felt offense. He, on contrary, he even went to the king and they told him about, gave him this message that he is cursed, that he should prepare himself and that he is very sorry about that. So that the king was cursed. But the king accepted it. As a respect to the Brahminical culture. Although the Brahmana was not qualified. And he accepted it as, especially as Krishna's mercy. He could counteract it maybe, but he didn't do it. So because he was already experienced in Krishna, in the heart, super soul, even when he was not born, in the womb of his mother, Uttara. Therefore, all over his life, he was looking after that Lord. Therefore, his name was Parikshit, the observer, the one who is looking out, finding out, where is the Lord of my heart. So he was a seeker, a genuine seeker, his whole life. And that he became cursed was just Krishna's arrangement so that the Bhagavatam could be spoken by Shukadev Goswami to the qualified recipient who had this culture of faith in his heart already. So therefore he was the perfect Shishya, the perfect listener, Vishnurata. Therefore Parikshit Maharaj is Vishnurat. He who is protected by Vishnu. And Prabhupada is pointing out, a Vishnurat has to learn from Brahmarat. That means from somebody who is realized in Brahman. Parikshit was in great anxiety, already in the womb. He could not do anything as an embryo. The soul in the embryo, completely conditioned. And he also accepted ultimately the shelter in Krishna more and more. He understood, the Lord is the only one who protected me because he gave me a new body. My body was burned by Ashwatthama's weapon, Brahmastra. It destroyed the body, but the Lord gave him a new body. Because he was the last offspring of the Pandava, of the Kuru dynasty. So the Lord wanted that this dynasty will continue. And he had a plan with Parikshit Maharaj, you know, that he will become the recipient of Shukadev Goswami's topic of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, as he heard it from his father, Vyasadev. And Vyasadev heard from Narad Muni. Vyasa was not satisfied in the beginning. Was not satisfied, although he wrote so many literatures. But then Narad Muni came and he told him, you should speak more, emphasize more bhakti, direct bhakti. Therefore Krishna told to Brahma in the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam that somehow or other, directly or indirectly, one has to take up this process of bhakti yoga, of this process, directly or indirectly. Directly means by hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and indirectly means that what is favorable, what ultimately brings us to bhakti. But it's not bhakti direct, it's like Varnashram Dharma. Anusham Dharma is secondary. It's not an anga of bhakti. But it's helpful to attain bhakti, to become qualified, to become cultured, stable in his duty, in his dharma, in his occupation. Not stealing, not lying, not doing any criminal, uncivilized, uncultured behavior. Becoming a good man who is dutiful to his duty, even as a Shudra. Even Shudra can become perfect transcendentalist. Even an outcast can become perfect transcendentalist or devotee of the Lord by the Lord's mercy. Therefore, Devahuti said, Aho patas apacha dugaryan nachivate vartata namatubhyam tepusta paste chuvu chashnur arya pramanuchu namakrinanti ete. Oh, how wonderful! She expressed herself in amazement. Aho! How wonderful it is that even a svapacha, a dog eater, will become the greatest transcendentalist if he chants the holy name of the Lord. Nama grinanti ete. When he accepts and chants the holy name, then even dog eater can become purified. He doesn't have to learn Vedas. Because the chanting of the holy name, if you chant the holy name, you already studied all the Vedas. You already performed all the tapasya. You already performed all the Vedic sacrifices. And you already performed all the qualifications what makes you an Aryan. What is Aryan? Somebody who follows Varnasham Dharma is Aryan. Arya means he who knows the truth, who knows in which direction to work. And then, as Lord Chaitanya said, it doesn't matter if you're Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, Shudra, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, doesn't matter. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not neither of these. I'm the servant of the servant of the very dear servants of Krishna, the gopis. This was Lord Chaitanya's mood. Because he was fully absorbed in the bhakti, prema bhakti. And it's not necessary that he perform the duties anymore of Varnashram. Although he may still accept certain varna ashrama, but he only accepted it as a giving example to the people so that they can follow. Because if everyone lives like a renunciate or like an avadut, somewhere in a cave, or in seclusion, in the forest, in the jungle, or in a cave, then the people, the ordinary people, will not follow. They cannot follow. They say it's impossible. Therefore, even the liberated person accepts Varnashram Dharma and the duties of varna and ashramas, or any position where he is in it, to give an example for the ordinary people, that they also can follow, that they also can develop a little faith. And this is only possible by the mercy and the kindness of the devotee, who has the faith. He should not be satisfied with his own cultivation of faith and absorption of bhajan in Krishna consciousness. He should kindle this faith in others. This is duty of every devotee. Kanishta, he cannot, because he has to struggle himself with the faith. He has difficulty to convince others, to give this spark of faith in others. It's difficult for him. Therefore, mostly they don't preach, they worship deity. They do some yagyas, maha. But they are not absorbed in the transcendental knowledge or in the conviction of the devotional service, in the chanting of the holy name. And therefore, they cannot kindle this spark or this fire of devotion in others. And that's actually how faith is developed in somebody's heart. Because it becomes kindled. It's somebody who has the fire. It's a devotee. Only a devotee can have this fire. A devotee who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, the Madhyama. Prabhupada says, Madhyama, real Madhyama, not falling. If you consider somebody a Madhyama and he falls, it means he was not Madhyama. It means something was still a little show, more or less show. Therefore he falls. But if he's real Madhyama, what means Madhyama? He has faith in Krishna, in Ishvara. That's first. As Shastra is saying, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yatha Deve Yatha Guru. He should not only have faith in Guru and not in Krishna. And they should not only have faith in Krishna and not in Guru. They need faith in Guru and Krishna simultaneously. And those who have faith in Guru and Krishna simultaneously, all the truths and the secrets of Vedic knowledge will become revealed in that person's heart. Even without great endeavor. That's the magic of this Krishna consciousness process. You don't have to become big professors, big learned persons. Because even a big learned person in Bhakti Yoga, if he is only into Jnana, as Prabhupada is pointing out, if Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, if Bhakti is mixed with Karma and Jnana, then he may fall down. That means he's not engaged in the Shuddha Bhakti. He's not fixed in the direct process of Bhakti towards Krishna. Therefore he may fall down, or he remains weak. Stay maybe strong for some time because it gives him some sensation, knowledge. Cultivating and reading so many books, even learning Sanskrit and quoting so many Sanskrit verses like that, studying deeply in this knowledge, he still can fall, despite of the knowledge. Because if knowledge or jnana will not become vijnana, that means, coming from the heart, realized, then it will not stay. Then we are still victim of Maya. Because Maya also attacks jnana, especially on the unripe stage. If jnana or knowledge is not realized, then Maya still can attack it and drag you away. In Maya, chewing the chewed. Matir na Krishna paratakshatoa mitopi padyete grihavratanam adanta gopir vishatam tamishram puna puna charvita charvananam. Those whose intelligence or attention is not fixed in Krishna, matir na Krishna paratakshatoa, matir, intelligence, if not shows interest in Krishna, then we must be guided and be dragged away by our senses and mind and intellect, who are impure. And again, chewing the chewed. That's what we rejected. We reject something, become devotee, join Krishna consciousness movement, and then because we remain weak, we don't go deeper in Krishna consciousness and in association of devotees. We leave it, and then chewing the chewed again, that's what we rejected. Then maybe coming back, going back like that, always. Chanchala, like on waves. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes we are on the ocean and we try to check out how is the water today. With the toe, with 1 foot, food we put in the water. Sometimes we become proud. Yes, now I'm standing a little in the water on the shore. So now I'm now the sea. I was taking a bath in the sea. No, we didn't take bath in the sea. If you take bath in the sea, you go completely in the ocean. And be joyful there. Enjoy it. You cannot relish the first waves on the shore side of bhakti. It's only a little taste. You have to go deeper in it. But you have no faith or weakness and no faith that actually this ocean, we can go deeper and deeper in Krishna consciousness and will bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then maybe we'll give it up or we will not make further steps in that ocean. So we need determined devotees, fixed devotees in Ekanta Bhakti, in Nishta Bhakti, that means who are fixed in devotional service above Anatta Nivritti. And that's actually Madhyama. Madhyama is above Anatta Nivritti. He's not in Krishna Prema absorbed yet, but he's above Anatta Nivritti. Maybe some anattas, some weaknesses, or how say nature is still there, but it will not make him weak, because he is absorbed and fixed. He's anchored. His mind is anchored on the lotus feet of the Lord. He's fixed. And he will not waver away from that attention. Although maybe his nature sometimes wants to force him in away, but he's so fixed in devotional service that Krishna and the devotional service and this process will give him more and more strength, that he make him more and more determined and happy and fixed in conviction in this process of devotional service. Even if allurements are coming, he's not giving up. He's not going in this direction. He stays in devotional service all the time. And that is fixed devotee. And that is the duty of a fixed devotee who is a Madhyama. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, that's what we need to cultivate, Madhyama. He mentioned already to his time, in the end of 19th century and beginning of 20th century, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood the problem of the Sampradaya. The problem of Sampradaya is what? Either we are Kanishta or we are Uttama. And because if you have no Madhyama, then Krishna consciousness doesn't become strong. It will not spread in the society of people in the world. Because the Kanishta is too weak to be in Uttama, and the Uttama is already so aloof of everything that he is not concerned helping others. Also not the Kanishtas. Who helps the Kanishtas? The Madhyamas. Not the Uttamas who help the Kanishtas, must be a Madhyama. A Kanishta cannot go to Uttama. Sometimes we see many neophyte devotees, as soon as you see somebody whom you think is Uttama, you are very eager to get association with that person. But what will help you if you get associated with that person, even accept initiation, if you are still on the Kanishta platform? Or not even that. Somebody who is on the highest level, how he can help you and how you can reach him? No possible. Therefore, somebody has to come down from that level of Uttama to Madhyama. That's the Acharya. That's what Prabhupada did. And because nobody else did it before him, in his Sampradaya, where he came from, nobody came down from Uttama. They all thought we are Uttama. We all create our mat, accumulate our shishyas, and we cultivating bhakti and Krishna katha. No, but actually didn't. They could not inspire their disciples for preaching. Only preaching or speaking amongst devotees, but not preaching to the new. And to actually preach to new devotees means one has to be very fixed. One has to be very, on the safe position. Like a doctor or a nurse. They come in contact with so many diseased people. So they have to know the art, you know, how they will not become diseased themselves. To stay aloof of it. Otherwise, how they can treat people? And if somebody is afraid, oh, I don't want to be doctor, I don't want to be nurse, because if I come in contact with all these diseased person, I will become diseased too. Then don't become doctor or nurse. Because you are afraid. So you need love. You need affection. And Prabhupada had this affection. He had this deep affection and love, not only to Krishna, but to all living entities. And therefore he did that what nobody before did, in any sampradaya. Not only in Gaudiya, also in other sampradayas. Nobody did that what Prabhupada did, to come to leave Bharatvarsha, leave Vrindavan, and go to Mlecha country, where the untouchables live. Meat eaters, drunkards, thieves, capitalists, money hunters, sense gratifiers, Vishayi. Atacharya sai, Vishaya Chadya, Serasa Machya, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. If you want to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as given by merciful Gornitai, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, the only price they ask is up Vishaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. So now the Acharya, he goes to the land of the sense gratifiers number one. Of course, in India, there are also sense gratifiers. You should not think, oh, here everyone is Bharatvarsha, we are already Punya Karma, Punya people. There are so many sense gratifiers. But Prabhupada tried it here, but it didn't succeed. Familiarity breeds contempt. Saint is not respected in his own country. Therefore, he first went to the West. Right? And then he brought the white elephants here, the first devotees here, then Indians there. Sorry. Proved. Prost. Then the Indians took it serious. Oh, yes, Vamichi, he created a miracle. The miracle, he made white elephants. He brought white people to our great Bharatvarsha. And even to Vrindavan, I made them devotees, not only thieves. They became completely changed from all their, habits. They became very nice devotees, chanting, following principles. Why? Because Prabhupada, he had the faith. He was convinced. Prabhupada, one time, he challenged his senior leaders. In ISKCON, are you convinced? Because if you are not convinced, how you can convince others? You have to be convinced first. You cannot just repeat something like a parrot and not believe it. It will not stay in people's heart. It will not enter in people's heart if we only make lip service. So we have to be convinced ourselves from the heart, with vigyan, with real realization, and fixed faithful knowledge. That means we apply this knowledge in our life. Therefore, I always say, Bhagavatam or book distributor or a preacher, he has to practice himself what he preaches. That's Lord Chaitanya's process. Prachar and achar. Achar and prachar go together. You cannot separate. You cannot separate these two. So, if you want to do prachar, you have to be achar. You have follow example. Giving example, the daughters can follow. That will give the change in heart. But we don't have to do it. We cannot create it ourselves. The process will do it. The process of Krishna consciousness is Chintamani. It's like a touchstone. It can change. But it has to, we have to receive it from bona fide source. Prabhupada says, if you hear from bona fide source, bona fide speaker, acharya, who is realized in this process, who is liberated, although he is in the material world with the material body, seemingly he is a liberated person. But he doesn't want to show himself, I'm liberated, I'm an angel, I'm an avatar. Doesn't want to make like that. He comes as like ordinary, down to earth, to show us that we can also follow, give us some hope. So the acharya gives us hope by showing us ABC. Like Srila Prabhupada in the introduction of teaching of Lord Chaitanya, he told Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he came as Jagat Guru, although he is Radha Krishna. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead with His internal energy coming in one form. He doesn't have to follow ABC. He doesn't have to teach ABC. He can be always aloof in His transcendental realm enjoying in Goloka. But now He comes down to our level and teaches us ABC so that we can learn it. Like a teacher, he doesn't have to learn ABC, but he's doing it out of compassion, of helping young children how to write, how to count, so that they can grow up. So if this compassionate work to showing people how to practice bhakti yoga or devotional service, if nobody is doing that, then how other people can do it? And if we are doing it, but we are misguiding them with psychology, or with astrology, and with I don't know what kind of process or tricks one nowadays uses to bring people to Krishna consciousness, then we actually don't give them the real thing. We have to give them the bhakti directly, or from the basic of as Prabhupada did it, by showing example how to be devotee and bring the people to the chanting process and to practicing sadhana bhakti. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, somehow or other, we have to bring the people, this Krishna consciousness process, so that they can accept, that they can take up this process, invoking or kindle the faith in the people's heart that this process is very nice, and it's practical, and it is relishable, and it's actually easy, it's not so difficult, it's not impossible. And the devotee who is teaching this, he shows by his own example how nice the process is and how the process is functioning. Then other people will get the benefit, getting also the hope to take up this process. And like Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't like to live in Himalaya, in the cave, and become a yogi, taking up the vow of Mauna Vrata. I prefer to go to the big cities, teaching the people there the process of Krishna consciousness. So this is what the devotee is doing. That is the mercy of the devotee. And so therefore we should always be respectful to the devotees, especially the preachers, those who are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, who are take a risk to give Krishna to others and this process without becoming infected by it, We have to learn how to capture fish without getting wet. So we have to be very respectful and appreciative that the devotees are doing this, book distribution and this preaching, following the example Prabhupada has given. And even when I don't have to go to the West, we can go everywhere and meeting people and speaking to them about bhakti process and kindle the faith in them. You see how happy you will become. I always say, if you read books yourself, how much you can remember after reading? That's my experience. But if you are doing something practical in preaching and distributing these books, preaching these books, then this knowledge will become revealed to you. Becomes more and more revealed to you. You cannot study these bhakti scriptures. It becomes revealed. We can make endeavor for it, but it has to become revealed so that we can apply it in our life, so that it becomes very relishable and joyful to perform. So I want to stop here. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Maybe any question or comment? Yeah?
Thank you for a very nice class. How much time does it take to mature in Krishna consciousness?
Shukadev Goswami says it's not a question of time. Maharaj Parikshit, he was in anxiety. I only have 7 days remaining. But Shukadev inspired him. He gave him faith. He encouraged him. Seven days is more than enough. Because he gave the example of Katvanga Maharaj. Katvangava Maharaj, he was a great Kshatriya, king, and he fought for the interest of the demigods for a long time against the demons. But then when the battle was finished, the demigods were pleased with him and they asked him, what do you desire? What desire you have? What kind of blessing we can give you? So the king asked, can you please tell me how much time I still have to remaining day time of life? Because I was fighting for you and the demigods, that means most probably a long time passed by. How much time is remaining? So they told him, Muhurta. What is a muhurta? Muhurta is 48 minutes. Let's say 50 minutes. Less than 1 hour. That means he had less than two hours remaining in his life, in this body. And he told the demigods, thank you very much. And he retired. He didn't ask, give me Amrit. Give me your Amrit, make me one of immortals, of demigod. No. He thought, okay, I have 2 hours, so let me use these 2 hours and attain the highest perfection, the shelter at Lord Krishna's or Vishnu's lotus feet. So he used these 2 hours, And in the Shastra also says, one should use every moment, every minute. One should not waste time. Of course, that needs a certain level of experience or of bhakti, of faith, of bhava to Krishna. Anubhava, he doesn't want to waste any time. He wants to use every moment to serve Krishna and to follow the process, execute the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So So you can do it in one moment or in short time, or you cannot even make it in millions of years or millions of lifetimes. So it's not a question of time. Krishna is the time. Krishna can make in a short time what we have, still we can get the greatest benefit. And if we are wasting it, or we are, spoiling it, or not using this opportunity fully, to our fullest extent, then we will not make it. You should not be lazy. Think, oh, now I'm devotee, it's okay, so now I can take it. Taken more easy and lazy. No, we should never be lazy. Because Maya is always there, luring us, you know. And where is weakness, where she can sneaking in. That's her job. It's a thankless job. But it's her duty. She's police lady. Okay?
He cannot understand the slokas, he cannot recite slokas, and just keep on chanting, that is okay, he's listening, he keep on chanting, that is okay, he's listening, he recites slokas, he cannot memorize the things. So what is the position of Bhagavan? Still he can be highest of devotee if he has a taste in some of the process,
either in hearing, in chanting, in remembering Krishna, in serving Krishna, somehow or other, or the devotees, jñāta or ajñāta, sukriti, is there. So he can make benefit. It's the story, what we often hear is the cobbler and the brahmana, you know. Both of them met Narad Muni once. And both of them had the desire, you know, to know what Vishnu is doing in Vaikuntha, because they heard from Narada that he goes to Vaikuntha, getting darshan of Lord Vishnu. So they ask him, please tell us what he is doing, and also tell us what is our remaining time. Will we come back to him in this life or not? So Narada went there, and he met the Lord there, and he told them about these two persons, their desires and requests, their curiosity. So Vishnu told to Narada, you tell to the brahmana, no, and also to the cobbler. Actually, first he told, actually the brahmana will take long life, many lives, until he come to me. Cobbler will come in this life. And Narada was confused, was surprised. How is possible? How a brahmana cannot come back to you, back to you, in this life? And the cobbler, who is an outcast, he can come in this life. So Lord Vishnu smiled and he told him, if they ask you what I do, what I did, you tell them, you know, I just throw an elephant through the eye of a needle. So, okay. Narada came to the world again, to the earth, and he met these two men, the persons, the brahmana first. So then the brahmana asked, you know, what about the Lord did? Oh, Narada, I'm happy to see you. Can you tell me something? So he told him exactly what the Lord told. He threw an elephant through the eye of the needle. Brahmana said, no, that's not possible. You ridicule me, you know, it's not possible. No. So that he understood, you know, that Narada understood that the brahmana had no faith. No. And the cobbler, no. So then he told the cobbler, so he told, you have to have many, many lifetimes. As leaves on the tree where you're sitting underneath, a banyan tree. Banyan trees have so many leaves. So Kapsa said, oh, this is very soon, it's very soon, very soon. Please tell me also what the Lord did. Oh, the Lord drew an eye of an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, that's not very extraordinary, but it's a nice pastime of the Lord. Why he cannot do it? So he had the full faith in the Lord. And so Narad Muni understood that this, although he was a cobbler, shoemaker, he had faith in the Lord's power. And what happened is that the wind came and blew all the leaves of the banyan tree to the ground. No leaves anymore. Like now the trees in the winter time. Most of leaves are down. So he understood, Narada understood, oh, he will really make it in this one lifetime. Because he had the faith in Vishnu, in the Lord. So don't have to become big scholar, big sadhakas. Sometimes we can do out of routine a lot of sadhana and studying a lot of scriptures, quoting many verses and like that. I already mentioned that in the class. You maybe were not here. You came a little late.
I was listening when I came.
You were listening. You heard that. So it doesn't. That's not a criteria that you can become a recipient of the Lord's mercy. So the Lord's mercy is causeless. It's given to certain people who have a certain kind of quality of learning or culturing or practicing something. But it's the devotion, the bhakti, the surrender, what the devotee actually qualifies. And that can everyone do, even the svapaka, even the dog eater. Aho svapakas. Svagaryan, Achivati Vartata Namatubhyam. So he's the best of the Brahmanas and he doesn't have to perform any other culture or practice. If he is engaged in faithful devotional service, that's perfect. There's so many stories also from Ramanuja Acharya. Because he taught his disciples Ananya Bhakti in this firm shelter in pure devotional service, Ramanuja, Ananya Bhakti. And there was one disciple, he was actually how we call this? He was a wrestler. Wrestler. Wrestler is a low-class job. Shudra. Shudra work. Wrestling. For the pleasure of other people. To show their muscles. It's tamaguna. Tama and rajas. and this wrestler, he was newly married. And there was in the Sri Rangam, they have these big rat festivals, ratas, like Rati Yatra in Jagannath Puri. They have this also in Sri Rangam. When the Lord is coming out, the Vichai Deti Murti is coming out from Mandir, from temple, giving darshan to everyone. And then all the people are coming and offering prayers and gifts to the Lord. Offering obeisances and following the chariot, right? But there was this young man, the wrestler, with his newly married wife, and he was so much in honeymoon that he was always looking in the eyes of this lady. He could not see anything else. Although the Lord himself, who has beautiful lotus eyes, you know, he's Padma Lochana. He has very beautiful lotus eyes. This man, he could not see. He only was completely mad after the beautiful eyes of this woman. So Ramanujacharya, he recognized that, he saw, observed that. So next day when he met that young man, he asked him, "Can you tell me one thing, what I observed in you? Because yesterday was this our Ratak festival, and I saw you with this lady, with your wife, but you were always looking in her eyes. What is there something very special on that? What you see? You could not see the Lord's eyes, the Lord's beauty." So the young man, he told, "No, I only believe in the beauty of my wife, because that's the most beautiful eyes she has. That's no comparison anywhere. Never have seen such beautiful eyes." So Ramanuja asked him, "So if I will bring you to the temple, to Sri Ranganath, that you can see his lotus eyes, and you will see that his eyes, and that they're more beautiful, will you give up the attraction to your wife?" Say, "I'm mad for beautiful eyes." "So I will do everything." So he went there and he got the darshan of Lord Ranganath. And when he saw the beautiful lotus eyes of the Lord, you know, he completely melted. And he said, "That's it. I will become devotee. I will join." And his wife, of course, also joined. They became very dedicated devotees of Ramanuja Acharya. And then what happened is the Acharya and this wrestler, they got a very nice relationship, you know. He had great affection to him. And the Brahmacharis, who all came from Brahmana families, they became very jealous, you know. They became very jealous and they thought, "Oh, why our Guru Maharaj is always giving so much attention and so much affection to this man, to this devotee who is not even a Brahmana, he's a wrestler, he's Shudra." Ramanuja Acharya recognized that and he wanted to test his disciples and he told them, "So, one of you should now go to this Grihastha's home because his wife is sleeping now and she has valuable earrings she keeps on in the night. And you should go and steal it from her." Actually, first he tested them in another way. He arranged, you know, or I'm not sure if it now happened before or after. Anyway, he tested them by take that many things of these devotees became disappeared. Kaupina, Gamsha, Dhoti, like that. Chapa, Bipak, head, like that. Chadar, disappeared. And then when they woke up in the morning, they started to accuse each other. "Oh, you stole, they were fighting with each other about this little thing. So next day, he sent one brahmachari to steal this goo from the wife. She was sleeping. So he sneaked in and tried to get the earrings from her. She was sleeping, one ear on the side, you know, and then one ear was up like that. So she understood somebody is coming. And she thought, "Okay, I will..." She thought, "This must be Brahmachari from Ashram. They like to take my earring." So took earring from her. And then she thought, "Oh, I also should give them my left earring. So she turned on the other side, so that the left earring they also could get. But then the brahmachari became afraid and he ran away. Thought, oh, now she got awake. He left. So then the guru sent him again, next, observe what the husband is how he's reacting. Then he heard, you know, how the husband, when he came home, his wife told him that one brahmachari came in the night to take an earring from me. Oh, why you still have another one here? Oh, because I turned myself on the other side that he could also take it, but then he became afraid and ran away. And then this Prabhu, he chastised his wife. You foolish wife! Why you turned yourself? Why you acted like that? Now you gave the opportunity to this brahmachari that he could also take the other earring from you. And so when the brahmachari heard about that, then they all understood. He told to the other brahmacharis, and they all understood. Actually, this, now it's clear why our guru has so much affection to this devotee, because he is so much detached and so much focused in his duty and in his dharma and his devotional service, that he has no other interest. He is really in ananya bhakti. No other interest than bhakti. Or then service to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees and to Guru. That's all what he has in mind. And so they could recognize, you know, the greatness of a devotee. It's not necessary that he has to be a brahmana. He can come from any class and receive the mercy of Guru and become very confidential and advanced devotee. Stop. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Bless the Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.